Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday for all of you that celebrate here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well with you. We appreciate you diving into the show today as we get ready for Raiders. It's like Vince McMahon, the Raiders.
John Madden, and then what was his name? Chris Berman, who used to do that all the time Sunday Countdown.
Rumbling someone in the race. Random Raider player, Napoleon Kaufman.
That's a good one. Yeah. He was good for a hot minute. Typical running back, has a burst on the scenes and then you never see him again.
John Ritchie.
Fullback. Yeah. I remember him. What's he doing now?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's gonna be coaching a team or
hopefully
something.
Hopefully, getting that nose fixed. That guy was an animal.
Yeah, he was back in the days of the fullbacks, man, where those guys were just beasts.
Funny because that was my random Raider was Alec Ingold, another fullback. Mm-hmm. Weird.
No. Yeah,
that's who you had as Alec Ingold. As
Alec
your random
Ingold.
Raider.
When he said random Raider, I was like Alec Ingold. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, that was a.
I'm thinking of Otis Sistrunk, who went to the University of Mars.
Never heard of him.
Man,
Oil Can Bob.
Yeah, Oil Can Bob, great guy.
Boyd. See, you guys don't know that. That's not my problem. And then you act like I'm the idiot because you guys don't know who these people are, and you flip it on me that I don't know who these people. You don't know who these people are, and I'm the idiot in the room.
No,
I got it.
I'm not.
No, no one's saying that.
It's just Oil Can is funny. That's all. Calm down over there.
Relax. It's Tuesday. You're gonna be able. You'll be on your back in no time. Coming up, we'll get to Dane and Hughes in about 15 minutes or about 10 minutes from now. This is it, guys. I think, but this is what Mac has been drooling about since we were in St. Joe. This is what Bob's been telling you is around the corner. And the three guys on this field, and maybe the best that we've seen this offense since 2018, is about to be in full stride with Worthy, Rice, Hollywood Brown. Those three guys, they're going to be Mahomes' targets this weekend against the Raiders.
It's the best group of weapons that this organization has ever had.
It's a really good threesome.
Not with just Patrick Mahomes, but this entire organization has never had weapons like this before. You had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. There was never a third.
You don't throw Watkins in there?
Nah, not really. Not like this. You don't have you have Priest and Tony Gonzalez. You never really had that third guy, right? These are three legitimate, outstanding, awesome, like unbelievable, take the top off the defense type of weapons that Patrick Mahomes is going to have. We've never seen this sort of arsenal at his disposal, right? And now you factor in Travis Kelce, you can factor in Breshard Smith a little bit as well, a little bit of change of pace with the running backs. You know, you mix in the RPOs right now with this team and the way that they're running those and how successful those have been over the last couple of weeks. And so you've got the makings of something really, really, really special here, you know, with this organization and with these guys that are on the field right now. We have an opportunity to see fireworks, I think, from this offense as a whole, like we've never seen before. Now, I will caution you, if you're expecting every wide receiver to put up 100 yards and two touchdowns and all that kind of stuff, I think you probably need to get your head straight and realize it's probably going to be like we've seen over the last couple of weeks when it comes to production from these guys. Your leading receiver over the last couple of weeks has been in the 70s, right? Not exactly a number that's going to pop if you're looking for that fantasy addition to the team, but I'm not here for your fantasy team. I don't care about your fantasy numbers or anything like that. I care about how these guys fit into the offense and how they present problems for every defense that's going on out there right now. Like, I don't know who the coordinator is for the Raiders, but that guy's job this week really does suck because there is nothing on tape right now that can prepare them and get them ready for what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be able to do from an offensive standpoint. And this poor sap has got to sit there in Las Vegas and think about how am I going to try to defend this team with all of these guys and all of these players that can flat out burn. What the hell am I supposed to do? Now, as the weeks go on, coordinators will have stuff on tape that they're going to be able to see. But going into this game, the Chiefs basically have a blank canvas to do whatever they want because there's nothing out there that says what they can or can't do because they've never done this before. I'm just hoping everybody plays for the entire rest of the season. Please. In that wide receiver group. My friend Joe texted me this morning, how long do you think we'll get with all three? I'm like, I don't know. But I'm hoping at least a game that we get all three of these guys out there because they could do so much cool stuff with that.
Your defensive coordinator for the Raiders is Patrick Graham. Heard of
I know that heard name. He coached somewhere. He's Giants. Been with the Raiders. That's where it was, mm-hmm. The Giants.
Yeah. I have a friend with that exact same name. That's
seriously?
Weird. Same name.
Is he the coordinator? Do you know?
I mean, Patty Graham.
Yes. He is, Patty. Hey,
you think Tom Brady was in any meetings last week?
Oh, gosh.
Just kidding.
How's that working, though? I mean, everybody's all paranoid over this Tom Brady stuff. The team stinks.
Hey, they just got a win last week. Against
who they beat? The coachless Titans?
Yeah. Second worst team in the league.
20-10. No, Patrick Graham is the defensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders, has been with the team since 2022.
Okay, he's been there a while, yeah.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Yep.
I heard of him.
I guess they brought him over with
Antonio Pierce from the Giants, yeah.
Stuck around with Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah.
It says, Graham brings extensive experience as a defensive coordinator, having previously held the position with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. He has won, and he's been to one Super Bowl. Cool. Good for him. Good luck this week. What are your expectations for Rashee Rice?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like about 70 yards, five catches, 70-some yards, maybe a touchdown. I think they'll try to, you know, right away get to Rashee Rice and whatnot, and make him part of the offense from jump. Like if you have anytime touchdown or first touchdown scorer, maybe Rashee Rice may be a good bet on something like this today. But when it's all said and done, 78 yards, 79 yards, couple of, you know, catches, a touchdown, maybe nothing that's going to jump off the page, but you're going to see on the field how this guy makes a big difference.
Is that a sexy show? Chiefs three leg parlay, Travis Kelce anytime, Rashee Rice anytime, Xavier Worthy anytime.
I mean, if that could hit in the first quarter.
That oh my gosh. I would find both of you in the stadium and be like, let's go get beers.
Let's go.
That could happen in the first quarter against this team, right?
Can you plug that in already? I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. But I think that, you know, that's what it is. I don't have grandiose expectations because Andy Reid never has a guy that has, you know, huge numbers or anything like that. That's not the style of offense that this team plays. They spread it around. They make you think. They make you work. They don't have just one target. And now you're going to have, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys out there that could potentially actually be the target on almost every single play, depending on obviously your rotation. They targeted eight guys last week, nine guys the week before. You add Rashi Rice into the mix, you've got the opportunity to have 9 or 10 other guys that are going to be targeted again. So I don't expect great numbers out of Rice, but I do expect to notice the difference that he brings to the table, because I think it's going to free everybody else up. Maybe a big day for Travis Kelce on Sunday too.
Dr. Magenstein?
Doesn't it feel like the first play from scrimmage is going to be some sort of dump off, little screen pass?
What does Andy do?
He gets him involved.
I think it's
going
to be a slant across the middle to Rice, because that's what he does great. He catches that ball 5 yards and then boom, he's gone.
20 more. Yeah. Exactly. That just screams that to me. I think 70 yards a game is probably right. Yeah. He'll have over 700 yards this year, 6 touchdowns, touchdown on every other game. Damn good year in 11 games.
And that's a good year, dude. Like that's a good year.
After missing 6 games?
Yeah, I'll take that.
And missing all of last year, too. That's the other thing. Like,
there is
the possibility that this guy is a little flat. I mean, let's call it what it is, right? Takes a little bit of time to get back in. And you can work out and do all that stuff that he's doing right now that they told us about yesterday. But you're not simulating the real game. You're not simulating real practice. You're not out there with your guys. You haven't gotten hit. And really trusted your knee, too. I mean, and that's the other thing. He's not just coming off a suspension. He's also coming off a major injury that sidelined him for the whole year. So there's a lot in play on Sunday. And that's why I keep the expectations a little bit low, because I don't want to have high expectations and then have myself disappointed because of the expectations that I put out there for Rashi Rice. Mm-hmm.
I think my expectations remind me of 2018 when, I think I've told you this, Mac, when Mark Ingram came back from a suspension in week 4 for the Saints. Alvin Kamara, that was like his coming out party. That's when everybody kind of put his name on the map. He was RB1 along with Christian McCaffrey. I think they were like the 1 and 2, like they're the Gibbs and the Robinson of that year. Mark Ingram came back from suspension. He got 16 carries for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also caught 2 receptions for 20. Doesn't blow you out of the water, but 2 touchdowns, 16 carries, 53. That game, Alvin Kamara got 6 for 24. So essentially what they did was gave Alvin Kamara a bye week within a week. And I think you will see that from Rashi Rice. He has fresh legs. I think he's ready to eat. I think they're going to get him involved a lot and early. And look, we know that Xavier Worthy's already on the veteran package deal where, like, if you're not 100% to go, we don't need you in practice, because last week he did the walkthrough, then completely missed on Thursday, and then Friday was like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? He's going to play. He's just going to get a day because he's one of the guys that we trust in our system moving forward as one of our elite players. So if he needs a break in the middle of December, Nick Bolton didn't practice today. Creed Humphrey didn't practice today. Trey Smith didn't practice today. It's the veteran day off in the late end of the season, right? And I think this is one of those games where I think you can afford, and I know a lot of people get mad at me because you're eager to see all of them on the field at the same time, but I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe if that ankle ain't 100%, that ankle's not 75%. Hey, Worthy, you're active, but we're not really going to use you today because we've got 4 back and we're going to put everything in him. We can use Travis when we need to, but we got Juju, Thornton, Rice. We're going to win this game. I don't think they need Xavier Worthy to win this game. I'm going to be cocky and arrogant about that for a minute because of what they have coming back with Rashi Rice, who is fresh, knows this offense, knows he's Patrick Mahomes' wide receiver 1. I don't think you need Worthy to win this game against the Raiders because it's the 2 after that that lead to the bye. You give Worthy a game off in this one, you play Washington and Buffalo, mm-hmm. and then you get that bye. You sandwich in 2 big games outside of 2 technically buys, and then you go after the rest of the season and take care of the second half of the season.
Yeah, I disagree with that because I would never go into a game thinking of giving my guys a day off because you don't know how the game is going to be dictated, right? I know what you're saying.
He's inactive by being active.
Yeah, but I would never do that. I would go in, everybody's 100%. If you're suited up, you're playing, because what if something happens over the course of the game, right? What if Rashi Rice gets hurt and you told this guy, hey, we're not going to rely on you much. You're not a lot in the game plan. And he's got that mindset. Now you've got to get him back into the mindset of, oh my God, I got to get back into this game where it really wasn't geared up for me. You approach games differently when you know how your usage is going to be. And so I disagree with that. I don't think there's any way possible you can go into, especially at 3-3 where the Chiefs are right now, and say these are our plans. We've got to go out there and we've got to play this game, because I think there's a good chance that maybe Oakland tries to take Rashi Rice out of the game. He's the new guy coming back. Has, as you mentioned, which is a great point, hasn't been hit in well over a a year. Mm-hmm. He gets that first hit right under the chin, and maybe he's kind of, you know, stumbling around a little bit, like, oh, I forgot about all this, and he has to get his footing back. So you've got all these weapons. If you're out there on the field, you're going to be utilized as much as we possibly can, because we're sitting at 3-3. We don't have gimmies on the schedule. As much as we like to say the Raiders are a gimme at this point in time, the minute you think that, you know, the minute you start smelling yourself, Jacksonville happens all over again, right?
No.
And you lose that game. So you've got to go in full strength. I don't think the Chiefs have any room to quote-unquote play around or mess around or anything like that. I think it's full throttle now. I saw Mahomes' face, heard he was pissed after the game. I don't think they're going to play around with anybody anymore. It is full throttle, full go, and I think we're finally going to see that opportunity for the rest of the year where Andy actually embarrasses people. We don't see him do that. This may be the rest of the season where he goes out there and embarrasses people because he's got the ability to do it now.
You could also waste this on the Raiders and have Xavier Worthy mess up that ankle, and then we never see the combination on the field again in a game where I don't think you need Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, but I'm not big on worrying about injury. I'll ask Danon about that too, because I think that's a good question for a guy who played the game. Can you worry about injuries when you're in the NFL? Because I know they don't. If you're able to play, you go.
I'm not worried about the injury. I know that he's hurt. I know the injury's there. What I'm worried about is prolonging that injury. He's already hurt. Like, it's clearly obvious. And I don't think that you need him against the Raiders. But again, I expect everybody to be playing. And like you, I think that they are ready to just take the league by storm. Coming up next is Danon Hughes here to join us on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danon Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a Tuesday, so it's Danon Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and fantastic on the golf course. Speaking of fantastic on the golf course, Danon Hughes comes in with his 4 handicap golf game. Hey, Danon.
You mean I am handicapped?
No, you've got a swing on you. I've played with you before. You've got a stick in your hand. It's better than barbers, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You win the day, Danon.
Yes, this is a successful call already.
All right, Danon, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, buddy, I know you hate the Raiders, man. What's this week mean to you?
Well, I think it's huge. I kind of have to, you know, do a self-inventory and wonder if my hate is still real or as real as it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the flashback. I've always said that coaches are the best brainwashers. And when I came to Kansas City, I actually used to like, I wouldn't say I liked the Raiders. I liked Marcus Allen. I liked players specifically. Had nothing crazily against the Raiders, but it is crazy how quick that changed under Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson. And then you just come to a point where you absolutely loathe everything about the silver and black and about their organization and hate playing them. And when we used to come into the locker room, it didn't matter who we played the week before, if we lost the game the week before. Soon as we walked in the locker room, the bulletin board, the dry erase board all said it's Raider week. And it had a little expletive in the middle of that. And that's what it meant, is like, turn the page. Whether we won or lost, it is now Raider week. It's a different level. And so there was a high level of vitriol that we had for the Raiders that I don't know if it's there anymore. I feel like maybe the Broncos, you keep hearing about the Chargers, and now with Jim Harbaugh there, I wonder if I still have that same anger in me. maybe as the week moves on, it'll start to stir up in me, but I'm just all about getting wins now. We're at 500 again. Let's get some more wins.
Well, let me text you at 11:58 on Sunday morning, Dan, and let me know how you feel.
But the problem is that, you know, the rivalry is dissipated, Danan, and falling apart. It's not because of us or you or anything like that. It's because they have been, you know, they suck, and they've done nothing in 20-some years worthy of them really being that true rival. They're rival in name only, almost, right? It's not like Boston, New York, where the Red Sox win, the Yankees win. The Raiders haven't won anything and been relevant for the last 20-some years.
Yeah, I'd say on the big page or big picture, that's true. But if you look at the matchups that we've had against them, like, they've probably given us the most headaches in the AFC West. Over these past few years. I mean, not saying that they've won a bunch of the games, but they've put us on our heels just a bit. Max Crosby has been a problem for several years now. So I feel like, although when the season unfolds or you look at the AFC West standings, yeah, they've definitely not been any kind of a factor. But against us, you know, they came in here on Christmas Day, and then we played them tight again last year. Like, I just feel like they are just one of those, they're just a nuisance. It's not even a rivalry. It's more like a nuisance that we have to deal with. So, you know, any given Sunday, anything can happen. They're still the Raiders. I'm sure the message within the organization from Andy all the way down is that, you know, don't overlook the Raiders. Let's focus on what we need to focus on. Remember what they did to us and spoiling Christmas plans. And kind of go about it like it's the next part of business at hand. We get Rashee Rice back, and, you know, let's see what we look like.
Danan, from your perspective and getting to see the field the way it is and knowing how to play the position of wide receiver in the NFL, where do you rank, not rank, where would you put Xavier Worthy's health right now with that ankle?
It is definitely not 100%. There, and I noticed that
is it 70?
A couple of weeks ago. I'd say 70 would be a good, from a visual standpoint. Like, when I'm in the locker room, when we're on the trips, I don't see him walking with a limp. I watch pregame from the booth. I don't see him limping around the field. But it doesn't seem like he has that burst like we saw last year. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago against the Baltimore Ravens, he caught the deep pass down the sideline. And then he ran a reverse. It just didn't seem like he had the burst that we had saw last year, where he would pull away from guys. And now, he still has great speed. It's still an imposing force for any defensive back and any defensive coordinator that's trying to game plan him. But that burst is just not there. And hopefully it is getting better. It looked better this past week. And maybe he's gone from 70% in what we saw against the Ravens to 75% now, and it's going to keep climbing. The fact that there are times where it seems like you keep hearing stories about him taking some reps off of practice or, you know, dealing with it in practice, that's where the training staff comes in, and you got to protect a player against himself. So I'd like to see that he get back up to, I mean, conventionally thinking, having a guy at this juncture of the season and for the remaining part of the season be 80 to 85%. That's probably every receiver. So if we can get him up another 10% or so, that's probably as good as we'll get.
When you look at a game plan going into the game, we were talking about this last segment, and for me, like, I feel like if you're playing in a game, you're 100% and I'm counting on you 100% of the time. How do coaches approach that?
No, there's no such thing as 100%. There is, when you add in the adrenaline, when you add in the competitive juices, when you add in just the makeup of a person, their pain tolerance, that's where you'll get as close to 100% as possible. But once you've gone through the training camp, the dog days of training camp and preseason, like, there's no player that is 100%.
No. I mean, like, if you're going to play in a game, that means 100% of the playbook for me is available to you. Like, I'm if you tell me you're ready to go and you're on the active roster, I'm not dialing things back. That's kind of how I'm approaching
it. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You have a game plan that you assemble throughout the week. You implement that game plan. There's certain situations down in distances where you may not try something or do something, but you always have to factor in that everybody is ready to execute this play. Then everybody is ready to execute that play and that play, unless something happens during the game. Mm-hmm. If something happens during the game, then you may scrap a reverse pass because somebody fell on their shoulder, or you may scrap something if you have to replace an offensive lineman and the main offensive lineman is more mobile, and you may not run a double pass or flea flicker or something like that. So, yeah, during the game, I think there are adjustments that are made, but going into the game, you have everything at your disposal that you've planned and put together to go against that particular team.
Talking to Dayton Hughes, the color analyst on the Chiefs radio network with Mitch Holtis. Dayton, we brought this up because I think with the welcoming back with Rashee Rice, I don't necessarily think you need to use Xavier Worthy this game if he's not at that 80%. If he is 70, I think this could be one of those, like, he's active, but he's inactive. I know that sounds like you're giving up on the game with his part, but it's also like the Raiders don't need to know that. The Raiders can plan for him the entire time. That's an advantage that you have. And then with Rashee Rice coming back, maybe this is that game where it's like, hey, Worthy, like, dress up, you know, go through the motions, but, like, we're just going to rest you this week and get ready for what is Washington and Buffalo and then the bye.
Well, I thought we saw a glimpse of some adjustments that were made this past weekend with Hollywood Brown running the shovel pass and doing some of the motion. So now you have kind of that three-headed monster from the wide receiver position, because going into this game, I kind of wondered, okay, well, we never see Hollywood Brown do the jet sweeps. We never see him moving in the backfield and trying to create the different looks to the defense and the mismatches, et cetera. And then all of a sudden we saw that. And I wonder if that was purposeful, going back to your question, Bob, if it was purposeful in regards to the game plan, because now if you are the Raiders, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Bills and every other team that we're going to be playing in the coming months, now you got to worry about all three of them. Because we've already seen Xavier Worthy run that same package. We've already seen Rashee Rice, before Xavier even got here, participate in that same kind of package of plays. And now Hollywood Brown just got a dose of it. So now all three receivers, kind of contrary to most every other team in the NFL, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I don't think there's another offense in the NFL where every receiver is a part of every type of package that you run. Reverses, passes, bubble screens, across the middle plays, jet sweeps, shovel passes, everything that you have in your arsenal, all three of our top receivers can do. And now we're bringing Rashee Rice back, where what we've been leaning on Juju Smith-Schuster to do, the in-traffic plays, move the chains. Now we got another guy that's coming in that's going to be able to do that again. So, like, how do you game plan against this offense with all these weapons? Not because they're just weapons, but because they're all versatile and all can do the same thing, and add that kind of component to this offense.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, when you think about it, trying to prepare against these guys. I mean, what do you do? Yeah.
Pray.
I don't know how we ended any better than that. Dayton, have a good call on Sunday. It's Raider week. I am going to text you at 11:58 and see if you're still kind of 50-50 on if the hatred's still there. So enjoy the call, let's get it done.
This may be the last time that we smile. I'm thinking of it. That was a good laugh to end the segment, but the laughter has to dissipate as we get to the end of the week. Because it is Raider week. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thanks, Dayton.
Screw the Raiders.
That's Dayton Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor. You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Bills lost last night to the Falcons. They open up that number one seed. Oh, do they? One word on the Falcons, Bills.
Ah, fun. Enjoyable. Wonderful. I mean, Buffalo's not a very good football team right now. I'm just not in on the Buffalo Bills. I felt like that since week one of the season, and we saw it last night. Like, they got into some trouble early. They weren't able to get out of that trouble. They weren't able to punch their way out of that trouble. Josh Allen was neutralized in that game last night. I thought the Atlanta Falcons played almost a flawless type of football game last night. Penix was good for the most part. Yeah. I mean, Michael Penix played better than Jared Allen did last night.
Opportunity would be my one word. That's a game on Buffalo's schedule they look at and they say, you got to win that game. You know what? There's a game on that schedule the Chiefs had. It's called Jacksonville. You got to win that game. Now we're even. And in 2 weeks, we'll see who really is even and who's not, because we do it again. It's Buffalo versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl that is in New York. Buffalo, New York.
Had a doubleheader last night for some reason. It actually wasn't that bad. I kind of liked it this time. Commanders, Bears. Maybe because I liked the games. I was biased this last week. But next week, they're doing it again. I don't want to do this every week.
Well, the second game is totally useless next week. Yeah. Seattle versus somebody. Houston. Yeah, it starts at 9 o'clock at night.
Seattle. Gosh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But Commanders-Bears, 25-24, I think, was the final score. Caleb Williams in Chicago eke it out. It was a big game last year that ended on a Hail Mary. Chicago lost all their games, 10 games straight after that. They get the revenge this week.
Slop. That was a sloppy game.
There's really no other.
I mean, the rain obviously added into that. The Commanders' uniforms need to go. I didn't like them at all. Their team name sucks. Their stadium sucks. Like, I'm not a buyer in them. That was just a sloppy game last night.
They're getting a new stadium and they're getting new jerseys.
Yeah. Hopefully they go back to the better name, too.
I'm pretty sure they are.
The Washington football team. That's where it needs to go. It's better than the Commodes or whatever they're going by these days.
At least they have like 17 retro jerseys they can wear now because they got three different team names.
Yeah.
That game last night. Man, sloppy is a really good word. I will say unfortunate. Unfortunate because Jaden Daniels wasn't that great. Caleb Williams did beat you on the road, so it's unfortunate for Washington. And sorry, but in 2 weeks, you're going to play a much better defense and a much better quarterback. So I like the opportunity that the Chiefs might have in that game now. Another Sunday night football game in Kansas City.
Oh, God. Maybe flex that one up. No, the Chiefs are playing too good right now to flex that out of Sunday night. No, they'll never give up that number. The only time they did do that flex, though, was when they were playing the New England Patriots a couple years ago, and I think it was originally a Monday night game, and they flexed that out because New England was so bad. Mm. Josh was very happy. They made it from like a Monday night game to a noon Sunday game or something like that. It was a great flex
awesome.
For all of us. We're like, that's perfect. And maybe they'll do that, but I don't think they will. I'm not a buyer in Washington. They do nothing for me.
Yeah, agreed. Flex every game to noon, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. I would flex every game to 8:30 on Sunday morning. That is the prime position to watch a game, man.
This week, we're doing breakfast tacos.
That's what we're doing, I think. Ralph and I were talking yesterday. We're talking maybe breakfast burritos, breakfast tacos, the whole nine yards.
Can't wait.
I'll be there. We're doing breakfast burritos.
Maybe
the night before.
I was texting Ralph yesterday getting ready for this. One word on Mahomes being the MVP favorite. As he is now, by the way.
He is. That is 100% a fact. There's only one word. Normal.
Yep. Regular. Normal.
Normal. Oh, I wish I was regular. Normalcy has got to take fiber. Benefiber. But I'll tell you, this normalcy has returned to the NFL. I'm very happy. I'm very happy everybody's calm now. Not worried about. I hope Steven doesn't have a meeting with me today about, can you criticize these guys if you need to? I don't.
Sure, we did that Monday.
Yeah.
We do that when
we did that last week.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say receipt. Who was it? Sits in this chair that said in June that Mahomes has an offensive line. He's no longer going to have to look around and be lost. He's going to have time to throw the ball and Mahomes will be the MVP. And throw for 45 and 45. What's he on pace for? Like 46 and 42? I ain't throwing, sweetheart. I mean, come on, man. And he did it yesterday with his backup left, or he did it on Sunday after with his backup left tackle. So
that guy didn't play like a backup. God.
No, he
played like a
starving starter.
He played better. Take Josh Simmons out of the equation than any left tackle we've had since Eric Fisher.
Yes. It's crazy.
Am I wrong by saying that?
No, I think you're right.
Was I caught up in the moment?
No,
because
he was incredible.
That guy was freaking awesome.
And I mean, was told that morning he's going to start.
Yeah.
And now we've got two guys in that can play left tackle that are better than what we've had in the last, 7 years or so. So pretty awesome.
It's great.
Was it the morning or was it the evening? Doesn't matter,
Okay.
Alrighty.
Yes, it doesn't. One word, Brian Callahan fired. First coach fired week six.
Smart.
Fired!
Yeah, smart. I mean, that guy had no business being a head coach in the NFL.
Nope, he didn't.
So most of these guys have no business being coaches in the NFL. So that was a smart move. You've got a new quarterback. You've got a new general manager. You've got to get your own guy in there. And that's the problem, though, that I have with some of these franchises. You fired the GM, and then you fired the coach. Then you hired the GM, then you hired. Like, none of it works together. You've got to have everybody on the same page in that organization. If you're making a change with your GM, your head coach, or your quarterback, unless it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they all got to go.
You're fired. My one word would be Calicant. Dude. You know, you're not your dad. You're not your grandpa.
Yeah.
You're just not a head coach, buddy. Sometimes it just be like that, man. Yep. And it ain't happening. So, GG's, brother.
Nagy is a candidate.
Of course. I mean, everybody, I mean, to me, that's, you know, I don't want to use the term the low-hanging fruit, but I mean, immediately that's what you do, right? All right, who's this GM know around the league? Oh, Matt Nagy, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, offense, boom, 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 young quarterback.
Yes.
Took Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs 2 out of the 3 years. Be a smart hire for them in Nashville, Tennessee. But I don't know if that's going to be the hire, but it would be a very smart hire. I'd be all on board with Matt getting that job.
To give respect to the text line and Fesco's kids, I think Matt Nagy's going to have 6-7 jobs available by the end of the year.
No.
2 weeks ago, nobody would have said anything about him.
Right.
I like him. Tennis banquet last night, the head the coach, the assistant coach, shout out Coach Reynolds, working in 6-7, and the kids go nuts. You know, that's you work awesome. That stuff in like it's the dumbest
that's
thing
so
ever.
Great.
But you work it in. I mean, we got week six this week, week seven next week. I started to tell you about the football game we went to, and it was a middle school football game for my wife's, you know, student that she wanted to go watch. Actually, it was sixth grade, so elementary school in Shawnee Mission, however you want to phrase it, right? And they got the cheerleaders there, and they're talking about scoring a touchdown, and they've worked that into the cheer. They're trolling parents, let's get 6-7 more. Instead of 7 more, they're saying, let's get 6-7 more. And I was like, oh, that's so good. I'm dying.
I love that.
It's fantastic. Trolling the parents, yes, man.
Keep doing it.
Trolling yourselves. Because nobody knows what the hell it means.
Coming up on the other side, we talk about Callahan's mess that could be Nagy's problem. Plus, we talk about a new problem in college football that could be somebody else's new problem in Penn State. Here all on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I don't know how I went down this rabbit hole. Miss Cleo?
Again, yeah.
No, I had no idea. I was like, I wonder if she's alive. 2016. We lost Miss Cleo in 2016.
How did we go from talking about the Bears and Commandos and all these other teams to you and I in the break going down a Miss Cleo rabbit hole?
No idea.
No. I, honest to God, have no idea how
Maloney's
we even
involved.
Got there. Is Maloney involved some way? I think he probably is. You know Maloney, little known story, he used to watch Miss Cleo at night when he came home from the Brookside and used to call that hotline to get psychic help to see if he was ever going to find
Should
his loved one.
I raise prices?
Yes.
Seems like a good idea, Mr. Maloney.
Mr. Maloney gets his advice from the Magic 8-Ball. Scheisser stuffed mushrooms. Seems legit.
You think how like psychics read palms? She just read the veins in his head.
Yes.
Seems like very much stress going down the backside.
How the hell did we get on the Miss Cleo conversation? We were talking about psychics and the Long Island medium. Like those people don't exist much anymore, right?
I'm sensing there's a producer here with a name that starts with an M. My name's Mac.
Yeah.
I knew it, Mac.
Knew it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just sensing a producer's here. I'm Mac with an M.
Yep.
I knew it was an M.
I
thought there was like a bird. It looked like an M. I thought maybe it would.
Was she a TV psychic? Is that what?
Yeah,
okay,
she got
gotcha.
Like never heard she got, her. Like sent for fraud or something like that. She was like taking money or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
come
but
on.
If you're believing
well,
a TV psychic,
that's why I asked Bob. There's only one person that can get away, like a one type person can get away with taking out a life insurance policy right before you die. A psychic.
Psychic.
You can't argue. Mm-hmm. I knew it was coming.
Knew it was happening. Yeah.
Read the lines on my hand, said I was going to die in the next couple of days. So I took out a bunch of money and It is what it is. Miss Cleo every single day. So Tennessee fires Callahan. We knew it. We saw it coming. We originally thought Mike McDaniel would be the first coach fired. Yep. We shifted gears. He never hit the brakes, but he was shifting gears. Papa Love Mama, Garth Brooks, great song. In Pieces album, one of the best Garth Brooks albums of all time. Anyways, that interview or that post-game press conference is kind of when we saw the writing on the wall. So who do we think's next is the question I go to there, because there are going to be tons of openings, and it's already started. We're going to hear Nagy's name involved. The connections in Tennessee would make the most sense.
Absolutely.
Right?
They make a lot of sense. Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Bergazzi, he's over there. You got a new quarterback. We saw what Matt Nagy did with Mitch Trubisky, won Coach of the Year, took him to the playoffs twice. And so, you know, but in my opinion, if I'm Matt Nagy, I'm looking exactly what happened in Ben Johnson's playbook. I'm saying, hey, look, I might be one of your candidates, but I'm going to wait until the perfect opportunity arises, because right now I've got the best. You're a backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're the backup coach to Andy Reid. We know who calls the plays. We know that Nagy has a lot to do with, like, the in-week routine, and he's, you know, sending the message and executing the plan to the offense. But if I'm Matt Nagy and I'm wanting the perfect opportunity, it's not Tennessee. And that's not necessarily a shot at Bergazzi that he knows, right, personally.
Right.
But it's more so like, yeah, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until, like, it's that time. Ben Johnson had 3 years in a row where it was like, Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson. I'm going to wait for this one. Okay, this opportunity arose. I'm going to go to Chicago, where if I'm just successful, I can regain the city, because there's so pins and needles on every single moment. And Ben Johnson took his opportunity with Caleb Williams in Chicago. Matt Nagy, I think Arizona's job's going to open up. Miami's job's going to open up. Cleveland, no chance. That's going to open up.
I'm an 0-3 on all three of those
Cincinnati's
jobs right
gonna
now.
Cincinnati's going to open up. That's sexy if I'm Matt Nagy. That's an opportunity that maybe there's a little bit of a heel turnish there too. Like, hey, you want to get away from Andy Reid's shadow again? You want to do your own thing? You can have Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, but you're going to look like you were like what the Chiefs were right before you left. It's going to be that defensive struggle again. But again, there will be five or six open opportunities. This is the first one that we've seen, which is Tennessee firing Callahan.
Yeah, and there's no reason for Matt to just take a job to take a job, too. Like, he's already had that opportunity. This isn't the first job where you're champing at the bit to you know, get yourself involved as a head coach and all this kind of stuff. He's got his kid at KU. He's got a kid in high school right now. And for all intents and purposes, he's the heir apparent to what's going on here in Kansas City. And so everybody has that drive and desire to be that head coach, right? You really do. And I know Matt does have that drive and desire to be that head coach. But you also have to look at these opportunities, right? There's not many opportunities out there that are like Kansas City, where you are set up to have success in the NFL, where you have a good organization. When head coaches get fired, there's a reason, because the organizations are bad. This was a bad organization before Andy Reid came in here and took over and straightened things out. There was a lot of work that Andy Reid had to do behind the scenes to get this organization moving forward and to becoming one of the best organizations in the NFL, right? And so you look around and you're like, do I really want to go to Tennessee and deal now with this Cam Ward situation, because he's already had a year of this. Now Cam Ward's already on his second NFL head coach, guys.
Crazy.
And this is a problem in the NFL. They don't know how to develop coaches in this league. We worry so much about developing players and quarterbacks. There is no coaching development that takes place in the NFL. And now you're a guy like Cam Ward, and at literally a year into his NFL career, he will be on his third NFL head coach. Okay. That's not acceptable when you're trying to get a quarterback to be good in this league. You can't have three head coaches in a matter of 365 days for that kid. That is not a fair way to do it. Arizona doesn't have a quarterback. That organization is as bad as they come. They are cheap. They are just awful as an organization. I wouldn't go there. The same with Cincinnati. Cheap, awful organization. I wouldn't go there. If you're Matt Nagy and a coaching opportunity becomes available, it has to be the Shangri-La, because you are in Shangri-La right now. You go to Mecca every day and you're the assistant coach. You're Patrick Mahomes is basically confidant in this thing, unless there's something magical that opens. And that Cincinnati thing is intriguing. If you didn't have to cross the street to go to practice and the owner wasn't so cheap,
yeah,
it'd be a little bit more intriguing. But if you're Matt Nagy right now, I'm not just taking a coaching job just to say I'm a head coach in the NFL. I want one in an organization that's going to support me. And a lot of these organizations, guys, just don't support the head coach like we have here in Kansas City. We're very fortunate. We're unique. We're different. We are not the norm here in Kansas City. We are far from it in a great way. Most of these organizations, man, they don't set their coaches up for failure. We need to do a better job of raising coaches in the NFL as opposed to worrying about the quarterbacks and other players on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans had their Andy Reid.
They did.
They had him.
Where's he at?
It's New England.
And what are they?
They're first seed in their division.
Okay.
They're going to compete for, they're going to make the playoffs.
And who goes to Tennessee this week?
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
That guy.
It's going to be great. That's must see TV, right?
Why is the NFL so entertaining?
I know. They just know how to do it. People laughed at me with the script over the years. What are the odds you fire the guy that took over for Vrabel the week of the game? He's got the same amount of wins in his career as Vrabel does this year. New England's the talk of the town for everybody right now. And they're strutting back. And it's in Nashville, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Is.
So he's going to be strutting back into Nashville, sitting at 4-2 with the Patriots. You just fired your coach. There's going to be people cheering and rooting for the Patriots at that game.
To take a line from one of my good friends, Patriots, 35-0.
That's right.
I saw this from a Titans guy. This is funny. Titans head coaches post Jeff Fisher. Mike, not Mike, fired in season with high pick QB.
Who?
Interim Mike with previous head coach experience. A Mike. Then a not Mike, fired in season with high pick rookie QB. Interim Mike with previous head coach experience. Who's the next Mike? Every time.
Well, it's McCoy's the interim head coach
what I'm
right
saying.
Now.
That's Mike. That's the third interim Mike. It's crazy.
Who are the Mikes that they had?
Mike Vrabel, Mike Malarkey.
Oh, Malarkey was there.
And then now Mike McCoy.
And Mike McCoy, yeah.
That's crazy.
They're all Mikes.
Mikes.
Yeah, but I mean, that is. But I mean, that's an organization that, I mean, and you're right, Dusty. Like, bet the house this week on New England. I know you always get that little bump when the interim guy takes over, but this is different. This is the old coach coming back with his new team that's kicking everybody's ass. They're going to go down there. And you don't think for 1 minute that Mike Vrabel doesn't have revenge on his mind this week. And so when it gets to 42-0, it's going to go to 48-0, 49-0.
They're favored by 7. I would take that.
That's crazy.
What's the over-under, 41.5?
See, 41.5. Wow.
Scumbag.
Nice.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
When you don't have a life, dude. No wife equals no life.
And I know the over-unders for every game in the league this week.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, why are you single?
Tell
you
but also, reasons. Too, why are the Chiefs a bigger favorite this week than what New England is?
Geno Smith.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you want to really say who's better, Geno Smith or Cam Ward. But again, I mean, the Raiders, man. And again, I don't know if Brock Bowers is back.
It's a good, yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If I were to offer you right now Cam Ward or Geno Smith, I'm taking Cam Ward every day.
Oh, for sure.
Not even a
question. Yeah.
And I'm taking Cam Ward's contract as well, not that $70 million they gave Geno. Full circle conversation from the 816. Dusty, I'm pretty sure Maloney used to call Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. That was a show on MTV, Mac.
Yeah, Mac. You know Maloney called Love Lines. Hey, Adam. This is Rob at Brookside.
This waitress keeps winking at me. What should I do? I don't know, but you should stay listening to the show because Bob's Boneheads comes up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.